Hit it. Drop. Live. This is a new show hour. It's going to be on Wednesdays normally, but we're at the Coach's Corner here today at Here to Party Sports. We're going to be bringing on all the top coaches in their field. Today, we're going to start off with the best coach in the field in the game, Mr. Coach Scooter Mahoot, Parker Gregory.
Did you? I was thinking about this because I keep on putting these questions up for our guests, and I want to get people to ask questions. And I would say like 10% of the questions are for our guests, and the rest of it's just about coaching. And I just recognize, like, you know what? People want to know, so why not just give them an hour a week just to shoot questions off? And we got so many questions about coaching, and it's pretty crazy. You know what's funny, dude? I was looking at this yesterday because I'll go look at our show notes. So we had the Bar Talk podcast, obviously, with the girls. And then earlier that morning, we had on Jake. And literally, like, the comments that we get, we're a diverse podcast. Like, we have the girls on, then we have Jake on. The comments that we get, like, one of them is just like, this is so amazing. You're so supportive and cool. Like, I love the message you're pushing. Next one's like, fuck Hunter. Fuck you, Hunter, with your MAGA bullshit. And you're like, and I'm just like, what is going on?
When have you ever even cited, like, stated which political affiliation?
I don't know. This guy says right here, oh, geez, Hunter, I'm just getting more and more annoyed with your entitled since he's like 25-year-old and talking like a youngster. This MAGA stuff is making his head blow up. This is one real old man is unsubscribing. The high school vibe shit is getting boring.
All right, then adios, bro. Go to a different high school. Transfer.
This guy's name's Ivan Chris Pizkin Jensen, and he looks like a pedophile. And
that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet is an interesting place. I have noticed that it is like the sounding board for more hate than love these days.
Well, because the problem is when we were growing up,
you could hit people.
and you couldn't just talk shit like via this thing and be like, hey, they'll never find me or get me. Back then, if you said something about somebody, it would get back to them, and then you were getting confronted. So I just never talked any shit because I was like, first of all, I don't care. So what's the whole point anyway?
Oh, dude, check this out. So Andrew Jackson, this is a crazy story. Andrew Jackson is supposedly the person who had the most duels in history. A military hero and the 7th president of the United States, Andrew Jackson was also something of a hothead. He was involved in numerous duels, some account estimates of 100, and many of them were in the defense of his wife, Rachel, who was frequently objected to ridicule and malice rumors. Dude, that's how it used to be. The president of our United States, if you were talking shit, would duel you. It used to be, dude, back in the day, where if someone was talking shit to you, you could be like, okay, what's up, bitch? Meet me in the parking lot with your pistol tomorrow, 6 a.m. And you had two choices. You had to then immediately apologize and say, you know what? I retract my words. I am sorry for what I did. Or you got to go out and you got to shoot each other. Now, if we still had that stuff, I think there would be a lot less BS. There was a lot more etiquette and proper behavior back then. And now,
hey, man, Mike Tyson, bro, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Dude,
I'm Mike Tyson. And I just think that's the thing is most people just don't get enough punches in the face.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning for extra violence, but I'm just saying, like, there is a peacefulness to knowing that there's a possibility I could have my ass handed to me right now. So do I really want to step up to the plate and start swinging? Like, just saying.
Have you ever been beat up badly?
I've got into some bad fights. Sadly, I have to say I have been in numerous brawls.
Did you get beat up though?
Oh yeah. I've been in some fights where I have not come out so pretty looking. Where I'm like, wow, I really got effed up. Like that was bad. Or just clocked, like blindsided in a fight, and I'm just like, this could have ended up way worse. I've broken fingers, hands in fights. I've been in a lot.
Ryan, have you ever been in a fight?
I've been punched Actually, yeah, I've been.
That's not a fight. That's just getting punched.
Yeah. It was coming out the backside of my apartment in college, and I didn't drop the beers that I had in my hand. So I went to like push the one guy away because he was getting ready to fight the other guy. And in the middle of trying to break the two up, I caught one in the side of the cheek. And then I got
dizzy. You held tight.
Yes. But I held my beers. I was like, all right, I'm going to go drink.
It's been a very long time since I fought, and I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have
never swung.
Yeah, the last
never swung.
The last big fight I got in, I broke my finger.
I'm not gonna lie, guys. Straight I through. Smell pretty right ripe right now.
Shower.
Yeah.
Shower.
Did you work out already?
You guys want to know something funny? I haven't had a bar of soap in this shower or any soap for like probably 3 to 4 weeks. Dead serious.
You just shower with the water? You just go jump in the ocean?
Pits and bits. I just kind of hit it with it a little bit, and then I'm out. But no soap.
What about body wash?
I don't have any of it. There's like a couple things of shampoo, but I never shampoo my hair. What's up?
But he jumps in his pool multiple times a day. When he gets done with a session, he jumps in his pool.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really. I'm not very much of a stinky person.
Dip in the chlorine.
Yeah, I'm not a stinky person. I can be honest when I say that, but in reality, no. Like, I don't know.
I don't wear deodorant. I haven't worn deodorant in like 20 something years.
I do want to start our men's care line really badly. We got to get it.
No
off.
Names. Don't
no
put
names.
It out there. Don't
secret, dude.
Quiet.
I'm just looking for a little bit of fun to come in.
Do not put this out into the ethos yet. Like nothing.
I know, dude. I know. I got it.
I was surprised with Simon Rex. I don't know if you know this guy. He goes by the rapper name or singer name Dirt Nasty. He started his own skincare line. Like so his name is Simon Rex. He was in the Scary Movie franchise when they did the what was it was
oh yeah
they did the version of like Tom Cruise when the aliens were coming to town.
War
of the Worlds, but it was
yeah,
that
War of the Worlds.
I think it was that scary movie that he was in. But is Simon Rex? He's kind of out of the blue. I wouldn't expect.
Give me 2 seconds, guys.
We'll give you 3.
Simon Rex, Americano actor. I'm sure you've seen this guy. He started a skincare brand. Scary Movie 3. And 4.
Yeah, okay. That's who I thought.
This guy.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like he's related to... It kind of looks like he would be related to... what's his name? The guy from Star Wars, the Kylo Ren dude.
Do you guys see the sun in the background? It has literally been raining for the past week, and the sun just comes out as I'm leaving today. I am over this crap. And I'm going straight to London where it's freezing cold. Then we got to go to Ireland, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's raining all week here.
Dude, Sai is always awake. Sai was up at 2 a.m. dropping tips on us. Dude, we got $2.50 worth of tips yesterday, people. I don't want anybody to get jealous, but team's getting a little rich. And guys,
I don't want to give anything away, too much away before the edits come out. But last night we saw some... a lot of skin with what was some Speedos.
Oh yeah,
well, we were testing this thing out. Supposedly, Tracy's like brother goes on these live TikToks and is like naked and gets like lots of money. I don't know if he's really naked, but he doesn't wear his shirt and he like talks to people and
drinks coffee on TikTok.
Well, I don't understand, dude. Humanity is. I mean, the fact that we have our own show and people are listening to it, I guess we're part of the whole situation, but. We're going to try to have a little bit of direction today. 2 things I wanted to talk about. Sai never goes to sleep. Girls, did you ever end up getting any tips? Did you guys get any coffee tips yesterday? Because I do want to know. Barry Swan, what's up, brother? What's up? Kyle Kokonos, dude. Kyle Kokonos is healed and recovered from his 100. I talked to him yesterday. He's feeling pretty tough. OCI is back.
OCI is in the house.
So we do want to give some intention to this show. It's supposed to be coach talk. Otherwise, we could just talk about random stuff all the time, which I do like talking about. So a couple things of direction we're going to talk about today. One, I do want to talk about the Ultimate Engine. Two, I want to talk about Parker's Ironman coming up and potentially doing the – do you have an Ironman locked in, by the way?
Yeah, I'm doing mixed doubles with Imani in Houston for High Really? Rocks, and then that's March 16th. And then April, we're doing Ironman 70.3 Texas. That's April 7th. And then 20 days later is the full Ironman Texas. So they call it the Texas two-step.
One two-step.
Yeah.
And maybe it's starvation.
Yep. Starvation. And then starvation. Hmm.
So, guys, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Ultimate Engine.
Whoa, whoa.
I do want to talk about Ultimate Engine for a second. I'm pretty excited about this.
Hit me.
I created this thing, and I found out over the past couple of years what I did is I used the same formula twice, and it was really, really good, but I wasn't getting enough intensity on the front end to develop more horsepower. My fitness was there. I was able to sustain a heart rate for a higher longer period of time, but I wasn't able to push as hard as I want to. And the thing that I found out with this formula, we originally did 4 sets of 8, then 6 sets of 4, and then 8 sets of 4. Yeah. 6 sets of 6, and 8 times 4 minutes. And it was good. It was really, really, really good. But now we're doing 4 by 2 minutes, like maximum intensity, then 4 by 4 minutes, and then 4 by 8 minutes, and trying to create a higher horsepower ceiling and drive that thing across. And that was like part of the reason when I found out you were doing these Ironmans, I was like, dude, I really think you're going to do too much volume and you could get more out of it. Because I actually...
We were talking about this the other day. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think these 5 and 6 hour rides that people go on, not saying that there's not a place for it at times, but I definitely think that maybe at max, you don't need more than 4 hours of riding. You just need to throw in some hard intensities into the front end of that ride beyond race pace, really push it. And then you're already at that pre-fatigue state where you would be towards the back end of that ride. And then hold power. Have these big workouts in the week, but you don't need to be on the bike for 6 hours. I know race day is going to come, but you're also compounding fatigue week after week.
Yeah.
Save yourself the time. Go enjoy your family. You don't need to be out there for 150 miles or 6 hours or whatever it is.
Dude, I raced pretty effortlessly at Ironman Copenhagen because I dropped my volume so much after the second one into the second one. And it was one of these kind of things where I was like, I did this wrong. You could, and like my friend Eddie Ift is training for the Leadville 100 right now. And he's talking about all these coaches so bad.
Killer.
Yeah.
Can he's I talk about all these coaches right now that if you do that, Parker, can I be crew for you?
Yeah. The Leadville 100 mountain bike race is the one I want to do.
The bike. Okay. Yeah.
Regardless. I'm planning on doing the Kodiak 100, the 100 miler around Big Bear, I think in October.
Sick.
Sponsored by the pancake brand?
No, Google Kodiak 100 real quick. Big dog.
All right, so go ahead, Hunter. What are you saying? You drop volume going.
I dropped volume, and I just recognized. I was like, dude, there's a way to get more specific horsepower, which you need to do for muscle recruitment and just like the way that your body like muscle recruitment and muscle tension, which is necessary. Like you're not going to be able to pedal faster unless you do the work to move your legs harder. And a lot of people are not doing that. They're just moving their legs longer. That's not necessarily the case. Like you don't want to go longer. You want to get the race done faster and things like this. Like it's where it's like, yeah, this one right here. You see that? Scroll back up again a little bit. It looks like our sponsors are attached in there. Damn, dude. Kodiak 100 sponsored by Billiter and House. Take a screenshot of this. Post it all over the internet.
Hey, future, the future.
The future is now. You know what's really impressive, like, dude? Kyle and I finished I finished both of my Ironmans only on Builder. And Kyle finished his 100-miler pretty much only on Builder. And my friend Steve hiked the entire Appalachian Trail only on Builder. Like, we have tested so many crazy distances and intensities on Builder, Hydro Builder, yeah, that, like, I can't see a hole in the formula. I've never had anybody be like, dude, I crash, I bonk, I cramp.
No, that's my number one electrolytes for every single session I do. And I think that's another thing that people really don't do enough of is they're like, oh, I've only got 45 minutes or 30 minutes. It's an easy session. I don't need any carbohydrates. I don't need any electrolytes. And I'm like, no, you do. You need to consume electrolytes every single session. Maybe not an hour's worth for 30 minutes, but you need to base everything off of an hour formula. Like for me, I know that if I've got an easy session, I only need like 40 carbs an hour to do a low aerobic intensity. But when I'm doing my big sessions and I'm like 2 hours on the bike, 2.5 hours on the bike, and I'm pushing super threshold for two intervals on the front end, and then I'm doing 2x15 or 2x20 tempos or more, and then into zone two, I'm doing 80 to 100 carbs an hour during those sessions in order to fuel, because that's what I'm going to do on race day.
You know what's interesting? And I could just tell everybody how to, like, just to expedite this whole question of whether or not you need it or not. Everyone should go to bed at nighttime and get on the scale. Let's say 9 p.m. you go to sleep. Get on the scale. Let's say you're 200 pounds. The next day you are going to wake up, you're going to be 2 to 3 pounds lighter because of the amount that you sweat in your sleep. You didn't poop the bed. That's all sweat. And if you're losing that much water and you're utilizing things,
dude,
if you look at the studies of just even like a 1% loss of water weight of your body, the amount of performance that drops off. And another thing, if you guys don't understand and can't pick up on how much electrolytes you're sweating out, I want you guys to put on a black baseball cap that's not like a sports tech one and go for a run. And then afterwards, leave that cap out, let it dry out, and then look at the amount of salt that is just coming out of your skull.
Yeah.
Just your skull.
Yeah. I posted a video a couple of weeks ago. I was doing a session. And there's literally just sweat dripping off my nose and my hat onto the bar at like a steady rate. And of course, somebody was like, dude, turn a fan on. And I'm like, I have two fans going plus the window open at full blast. But yeah. I'm working hard when I'm doing that session. I'm doing thresholds. I am pushing my limit. And on top of that, you need to sometimes have the room a little hotter. You have to try to replicate race day. Like
heat
if you're racing
heat
in Texas,
training is a factor.
It is balls hot in April here. It is not like April somewhere else where you're like, oh, this is gorgeous spring weather. Like Ironman Texas last year, it was 90 something degrees. It was like 70 something degree dew point. And people were like, I was dying. It was so hot. And I'm like,
dude, I was dying at starvation. Starvation is so hard. And that was the heat all day long. So I can only imagine what it's like in Texas.
I'm bringing my road bike to that race. I'm not doing my triathlon bike. No, listen. I've got an Aero road frame, and I'm going to set it up my fit to be my TT position. But I'm going to get the Aero bars that go on it, but I'm going to use
And
I think a time trial bike is, I love my time trial bike. I love it for, you know, fast courses, you're on the flats, but when you got big, big hills and you're not a professional where you can sustain 350 watts on every climb and you're averaging 27, 28 miles an hour, even in the hills, you know, like average speed, bring a road bike, set it up, put your Aero wheels on there, even if it's a disc wheel. And then that way you have stability on the descents and you're in a more, advantageous position in the climbs.
Dude, I think I was almost going 50 miles an hour going down the hills. It was so
probably
scary.
Not even trying.
Dude, Jason Bam Jam just came on. Good to see you, Jason. Check this out. I put this up in the group yesterday. Did you see this Nico Young?
Dude.
Yeah, what was that?
That's
sub 4 minute mile at 7,000 feet.
Yeah, 357.
Do you think kids are getting fitter, or is like the technology just getting so much better?
Training's getting smarter. There's less overtraining. We have much more study and time with nutrition, intensities per week, recovery, and these kids are getting into it in high school versus like when we were growing up, it was like you had to earn your water on the football field. And it was like, this is the dumbest shit ever. Like, you want us to perform, but yet you're going to absolutely destroy us from the ability to perform. Like, come on. Like, it's dumb.
Yeah, it is interesting. This Nico Young kid ran here, I think, in Newberry Park, which is right over the hill. And, dude, this whole team of high schoolers are, like, all sub-15-minute 5Kers. I'm like, what? How are all these kids such freaks from this area?
Well, it's – okay. So let's also look at when records finally get broke and then how many people start breaking that previous record as soon as it happens. Back when no one thought anybody was going to run a sub-4-minute mile, then all of a sudden one dude did it. Then tons of people started doing the 4-minute mile.
Yeah, it's freaky.
It's the same even with young kids. It was the same in high school where it was like no high schoolers ever ran under a sub-4-minute mile. Then years ago, a kid did it. Now, if you're not on the 4-minute cusp in high school, you're not getting recruited. Like, your recruitment,
I know,
has gone down. It's now the standard to around a 4-minute mile.
Interesting though. Like, I think a lot of these high school kids are just getting overtrained, overworked. Like, I remember I got beat when I was in peak form. Like, I think I was running like 5:10s for 5 miles at this turkey trot. And I got beat by a 15-year-old in the last kick. And this kid went on to break the 4-minute mile. He was like the third or fourth kid in the United States to break the 4-minute mile. And then he went to Stanford full ride and just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And he just like kind of broke. So it's just a lot.
One of the best things I ever, we both happen to love the book I'm Here to Win with Chris McCormick.
Yeah.
He talks about when he's racing ITU in his younger days, how he just every weekend he was dying and, you know, traveling around. And then he went and was it Vietnam? I'm trying to remember where he was. And he was like, I'm too exhausted. He said, I just decided not to push myself that week. He goes, I barely trained. He goes, I went the next weekend and race and destroyed everybody. Cause he's like, my body finally recovered.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
And I remember that in the book. It was just, hey, do the hard workouts hard, do the easy workouts easy, and take the day off. I've been so wrecked over the last 3 weeks. I took Thursday and Sunday off from training. I was like, I need rest.
I'm going to do, oh shit. I got to put this in the notes. I'm going to do Manchester this weekend. I'm going to do DC and then I'm going to disappear for 12 weeks so I can just blast myself in training and then come down just beforehand. Planning on moving to Europe early May just to get over and settle myself, get my family home. My family's home in Switzerland, and I'm just going to lay out there and I'm going to let myself come off the shelf for a couple weeks. And then I'm going to go again. But right now, like where my volume's at, I'm pretty low as far as I usually want to go. And I'm holding it back
to the roof right now.
Yeah. My coach and I are holding back a ton. Like yesterday, dude, I only did two 5-minute intervals. Usually right now I'm doing 60 to 70 minute workouts at 175 beats per minute. And he's like, that's too soon. It's too soon. I don't want you there. And so we got it all set up. Hopefully it's going to be exactly where I want it to be.
What are y'all are doing? You're basically just building your ability to withstand lactic acid and your threshold. You're just pushing it and then recover. Push it and then recover.
I've said this before, but I've just like at such a high horsepower level, I kind of stopped doing it. But it's what's called maximal muscle recruitment.
Yeah.
So the more muscles that you're able to recruit, the more efficient you are at sub-maximal levels, because recruiting at the maximal level takes like every aspect of your body, and then you become so efficient to be able to do extreme things that anything underneath that extreme thing is just at ease. So that's why we're doing 200s. That's why we're doing like yesterday's workout was a minute and a half at 5:18 pace with a 20-pound weight vest into 35 push-ups
into a minute on the treadmill at 5:18 pace into 45 air squats. And then I rested until my heart rate dropped into 100 beats per minute, which took me about a minute and 20 seconds. And I repeated it again. And like, it was just like, boom, explosive. But I was out of there in like 12 minutes. And usually my strength
the entire day for the strength part, and then you're done. You didn't hit strength again that day.
No, I did strength, and then I did a 45-minute bike ride. I'm usually doing 2.5-hour bike rides in the afternoon after that stuff. So what he's doing, he told me, is it's like, Hunter, he's like, you're stressing your glycolytic system so intensely that, and then I only want you to open up your oxidative window once a week. So he had me do a 3-hour and 30-minute bike ride last Saturday, and I ended up doing 4 by accident. I wasn't adding up the math properly. And he's like, just stress yourself that way, and then we're going to stress you very, very intensely in the early side of the week, and then we're going to stress you very oxidatively on the back side of the week. And everything just keeps on going up. You know, I after like a just like really not being in a good place to do it, I went and I did Jackie, which is this iconic CrossFit workout. And the world record, like all the best guys in the world were just around 505, 507. And I did a 502. And the guy that I did it with did a 452. So I almost broke the world record. And I wasn't even like really having that hard of a time doing it. And it was pretty insane. Like I was
What's the workout? What is
1,000-meter row, 50 thrusters, 30 pull-ups. And for somebody my length, it's like really good on the row, but at the same time, like those 50 thrusters, this guy was moving so much faster than me, like freakishly faster than me. He can rep them out, and same with pull-ups. So it's one of these kind of things where I was like, okay, like it's there. Because I broke my last time by 17 seconds.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, that size of a workout, it's like a mileage kind of thing.
Not like I beat 17 seconds over a half marathon, like anything in that short amount of time. That's significant. That's like saying I went 17 seconds faster on my 1 mile TT. Like that's huge.
Are those kipping pull-ups?
Yeah. I hate them. You guys see how my hands are still like scabbed up and stuff from doing it?
Yeah.
Kills me. Mm-hmm. Damn, this chewing tobacco. All right, let's get into these questions. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay, non-sponsored post. If you have an oral fixation, that
alpha fuel.
There's no nicotine, no tobacco.
I like it. Where do I find these?
If you're fully loaded, fullyloaded.com. Like that. That's it's. I love chewing gum. I always have to have something. If not, I'm just going to eat myself into the sumo world and become a sumo wrestler because I have an uncanny ability to just eat food.
We would like to give a shout out to Go Brewing, keeping us dry in January for the non-alcoholic beverage of choice. Go Brewing.
Beverage.
The beverage
of choice.
Dude, I had the donut one, their donut stout. Oh my God, dude. I want to get some and then cook a pork butt in it.
Okay. See us here. Yeah, guys, code here to party. Here to party. Type it in. Get yourself some. Try it out. Honestly, delicious stuff. Pretty excited to keep it in my routine. Yeah.
It's great for me, too, because I'm not a big drinker anyway. Like, I can tell you about on one, like, two hands a year how many drinks I have.
I wish I was that man. Okay, guys, we've got a lot of just random.
Let's get to the questions.
Basically, we've got, when's Hydra coming back? Am I going to the Lions game?
It's coming up.
Run Bike Dave, what's your favorite porn to watch? Am I planning on doing Murph anytime soon? Guys, I wish, like, I'm not a pussy, but I definitely banged up my lat, and there's no way. Even after doing those kipping pull-ups the other day, I know I'm not ready for it. I haven't done, like, pull-ups with regularity of high-capacity pulls in a long time. Question. I'll leave this to all you guys. What do you guys think the potential is to break sub-50 from Julia Rye 2.0?
Sub 50. Well, now, okay. So I called last year early on. I said 52. I had no doubt in my mind 52 is achievable for you. I'm starting to think that 50 is a possibility. It would be insane.
Yeah.
Even if it was 49.59.
I got the no repped, and I think I'm putting myself down for 20 seconds off of my three no reps during there. So that would have brought me down to 53.02. So let's just say I took 5 seconds off of every single lap. Let's get the post-it notes out. 5 seconds off of every lap. That brings me down to.
That's another 30 seconds.
That's 40, you goon.
40. Six.
So
five seconds
right. off every lap brings us down to 52.22. And then if we take 5 seconds off of every station, we're down another 40 seconds. We're at 51. We're at 51. 42. Now that's very, very possible this year. And that's very, very possible this year. 5 seconds off every lap is not challenging. Then, you know, 5 seconds off every station is not that challenging. The thing is where are you going to get to that extra minute and 40 seconds? Like you'd now all of a sudden, yeah. Let's just go down again. If we're taking off another 5 seconds off every lap. So now we're doing our laps instead of like a 3:28 pace, which is mine, down to a 3:18 pace. Now we're looking another 40 seconds. We're at 50 minutes.
Is that like a 5:10 mile?
No, I think it's like 5:12, 5:15. We're at, if we take 5 seconds off every single one of these, now we're at 51.02. And if we take another 5 seconds off each station, we are now at 50 minutes and 22 seconds. Now that I believe is possible this year. I don't know if I'm going to break. I don't know.
Well,
if
I
break.
Said this year, you're going to go 52 last year. I was like 52 is no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I really think a lot of it has to do with like healthy training now. And then healthy training now and then losing the weight is the biggest factor.
But what if your speed and your power builds and you don't really lose any weight and you're capable of it at a current weight, or even if you only lost a little bit and you were around 200 pounds?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be good. It's just the cost, man. Like I just shaved my legs. Like I do everything to get off heat. I do everything to get off.
Yeah.
Every aspect of my body, I try to pull it off. So it's challenging to say the least. I just think really the math comes down from losing weight. You know, Nick Hoyer, we'll get back to that question and we'll do it in between these. The next question we had, how often do you guys train per day or per week? How many hours are you at right now for your Ironman training?
Not nearly as much as I think people believe. Like I'm not a pro, so my whole job is not, you know, working out every single day and putting in 25 hours. I think last week I did 10 and a half hours.
Wow. That's pretty good. Last week I did 3.5 hours of running, give or take, 8.5 hours of cycling, give or take, and 4 hours in the gym, give or take. So that's 12.5 hours, 13 hours. I was 16 hours last week. And that's lower for me. And I feel pretty gosh darn good. You know what I totally forgot to mention? Hobie Call's son, the guy we've been working with Shilajit, is trying to break the 4-minute mile to be the first high schooler to break the 4-minute miler at altitude.
Wow.
And he's really close. And I think he's only a sophomore.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. That's pretty insane, dude. So
well, if
good
he's
luck
built like his dad, I mean, it makes sense. I remember watching that guy in the early days of YouTube. He's like, yeah, I'm selling my TV and I'm selling all my stuff so I can travel and race.
That's such a gangster story. Yeah. Let's see here.
Like, this guy's got a goal in mind. That's awesome.
Corlini wants to marry me. What's your best 10K time?
My best 10K time?
Yeah.
Like currently or all time?
All time.
Oh, like 31 and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. When I was, me. I got 32, no, 33. Dude,
this is when I was like 21. I was like a buck 80. And I was so addicted to running that I would literally at random points be like, I'm going out for a run, and it'd be 10 at night. And it'd be through New York City. I was extremely addicted to running. And I'd go to the track and just be like, I'm doing 400s until I can't walk.
Yeah. Okay, here's a message. I mean, that's an insanely fast time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did it one time, and I about puked when I crossed the line.
This guy said, we talk a lot about workouts. I bought your workouts. Too much for me. Muscle pain, tendons, knees, shoulders. How do you treat this? My legs and knees are in pieces. How do you do? I would say, and this is part of the reason why I adjusted the Ultimate Engine and I tried to drop the volume even more on the intense week and have it high on the volume week. I think a lot of people, like, we build our programs and we have multiple layers of programs, and there's levels to the game. And I think a lot of people get scared to train in our company because they see some of the programs that we put out there. What I think the most important thing you can do when you get training is, like, start out at 50% volume and then start building yourself up. And if you're feeling good there, add it on. If you're feeling good there, add a little bit more. And then if you get stuck, pull back a little bit, stay there for a while, and then go up again. And that's what we try to do with our one-on-one coach, like, clients. Like, I had to tell one of my clients recently, I was like, dude, my only goal for you in the next 8 weeks is, like, don't get sick. Don't get hurt. Like, I know you want to do more. Everybody wants to do more because there's just, like, iconic pain and gain kind of thing. It's really important that you guys see the work and then adjust it based on your lifestyle. Like, it's not always do everything that's said. Do what you can do and then do that consistently and then grow from there. Would be my point. Any notes on that, Parker? Nothing?
No.
Okay.
Half of it cut out anyway, so I'm just like...
You didn't hear any of that?
Half of it. So I'm like, I'm not gonna...
Did you hear me, Brian?
Yeah, I heard you.
Oh,
maybe just Parker. Cut out of it a little bit.
Another one, dude. I've had this one said, am I single? I'm getting a lot of people asking dating stuff.
People want to know, man.
People want to know.
Does the sheriff need a deputy?
Yeah.
Deputy so, dog.
Which high rut station is your least favorite and most favorite? What about you, Parker?
Ooh. Burpee to broad jump.
Yeah. You hate that?
Fuck the burpees.
Yeah, it sucks.
It just because your adrenaline goes and you start out and you're like, ooh, and you're like, yeah, and you're down, you're up, and you go, and then all of a sudden it's like, and no.
You hit a wall.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was probably when I did
adrenaline pumping station that when you get to it, you come in from the run and you're like, I'm just going to go because there's no like resistance, right? Like, it's not like you hit the sled. And you're like, okay, all right, let me buckle down. Let me find my pace. And I just got to drive this weight. It's not like a ski erg where you're like, okay, all right, let me get the first couple pulls in. Let me do a self-check on my perceived effort and let me smash it. You know, the sandbag lunge, it's a little daunting because you're like, okay, all right, let me load up. So you have to take a pause because you got to load up. And then you're like, okay, all right, let me start lunging. The burpees, you just come kind of flying in and you're like, boom, hit the line and you're dropping down and trying to jump. So I think it sneaks up on you really quick because there's nothing to really kind of get you to set up to take a brief thought before you start it. Everything else has this thing where it's like the row. Okay, I got to take a pause. I got to get my feet in. I got to grab the handle, and then I got to start rowing. Yeah. You know, the farmer carry, you got to grab the kettlebells. All these other ones, you get a brief pause to do a self-check. And the burpees, you just come flying in, and you're like, eh, okay, all right, fuck me.
Yeah. I don't like the burpee broad jump, and my favorite is the ski. Ski, I just love to just beat the shit out of that machine like it owes me money. I just sit there and look at the thing.
You're like, this tickets, guy, give me the fucking tickets. I'm getting the big stuffed animal at the top.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Michael, 10 Val, best session to improve your high rocks time. Now, this is something I wouldn't really necessarily put in training that often, but this is something you could do like near the end or a couple months out and then try to get a baseline. Go do a 1,000-meter run for time, 2.5 laps, blast yourself, rest 3 to 5 minutes, and then you're going to do a minute on, a minute off for about 6 to 10 rounds, and you have to hold about 90% of that. And what that does is it just kills you and load your legs up so much, and then you have to hold pace on beat to shit legs. And that's more relevant to a high rocks run than it is to like a track and field or a road run. And the thing is like, I think what people try to do is they try to look at what road runners are doing or triathletes are doing. And they're like, oh, this is a road running program that I saw from like Kipchoge, or this is a road running program I saw from Christian Blumenfeld. And you're like, you guys don't understand. Like, these people aren't doing sleds and burpees and wall balls and stuff. Like, you have to try to get the legs taxed the same way. So if you can go to the track, and let's just say all of a sudden you run a 3-minute K, just a random time. Now, all of a sudden, you have to do a minute on, a minute off for 20 minutes straight of like 3:10.
Wow.
And like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I would probably come across at like a 245, 255 K, and then I would be doing like 305s for the minute on, minute off. And what that looks like is I have to hold like 5 minute flat on the treadmill every single time, and your heart rate's never going to come down. So, thought?
I would say if you want to try that, start off, like if you do happen to do a 3-minute 5K, I mean a 3-minute 1K, you could even go down and start with like a 325, 330, and then see how your body responds to it, and then increase it if you do that session again.
Yeah, you're going to repeat this.
Yeah. So it's better to – it's better when you go out to do a session – and if you are a little hesitant, you're still doing the work. But if you know you have left in the tank, it's kind of a cool feeling. Like, okay, so I could have gone harder. So now you've got a good gauge for that session versus, all right, I went out way too hot, and now I'm blown 5 rounds into this, and I can't even finish the session. And then you drop off significantly, which is still a good session because you're still giving the same effort level. But sometimes it's good to just kind of scale it.
Yeah. Progressive. You got to be progressive. How can I improve my high rocks burpee game? I'm not good. That was a proper sentence. I think the thing is people try to do burpees at like such a high level all the time. And like, I put that in our programming and stuff because people want to see it. But the reality is like, get fit and then get skillful. So that's why we do tons of volume and running and biking and intervals on the machines. You're getting fit and strong. Then skillful. I almost never do burpee broad jumps. So what you end up doing is, for my life at this point, is I end up doing just these speed intervals like you guys see me doing with lunges and stuff, where basically like I do a burpee broad jump for 8 to 10 meters and then I rest. And then I do 8 to 10 meters and try to do it a little faster. 8 to 10 meters and try to do it a little faster. And then I find this like top point and I just stay there for a couple more and try to sustain it. And I do like 5 or 6 rounds of that and then rest for a bit and then try to repeat it. And if I slow down, I stop. And like, I think those are really good.
Yeah, I think they try. I think what happens is a lot of people, they're like, okay, I'm doing 80 meters of burpee to broad jump, and they try to do it like they would in a race day. So take, you know, when you look at other sports, let's look at swimming for, you know, even if you're doing Ironman. You don't just go out and you're like, okay, I'm doing a 2.4 mile swim. I'm going to swim 2.4 miles every time I go swim and do it nonstop. No, we break that down into sets in order to work for speed and everything else. It all comes together on race day because you're trying to break things down to become efficient, to become more powerful, to become faster. So think about it in that regard. Like, you just don't go out and like, you don't train for a marathon by going out every day or every other day and running a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. How long do you think it would take to for someone to reach a pro level in High Rocks?
It would depend on where you are currently. And then
they're starting.
Yeah.
Let's say they're starting middle of the road. The average time for High Rocks is – for men's open is 130, 135. Let's say they're starting there.
Yeah.
That would be also if their body's even capable of it.
2 years? Like
yeah.
Especially because if you're even if, like you just said open, they have to be pro, first of all. But so let's just say they're pro and they're at 130. It would take you 2 years to break 60 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and that has to be your focus.
The third year would be to be in the Elite 15. Unless you're already a freak and you're coming in with like a background. There's like that Joe Skipper guy. What's his name?
Yeah, Joe Skipper.
Yeah, Joe Skipper like was – has
he's
a,
an elite like, Ironman. He's been doing Ironman for
hour?
Like – yeah, well, he was also part of the Sub-7 project 2 years ago.
Yeah, so you got this guy – who is a sub-8 Ironman person, he has an amazing opportunity to like show up and get towards the Elite 15 because he's had such a horsepower. Now, I don't know if he's got – I think it took him like 30 minutes to do the sled pull or something crazy. Something enormously long.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, like he's strong, but he was just like – he even says he has a YouTube channel where he talks about and he covers that whole thing where it's just the weight training is something – he weight trains, but it's not for High Rocks. So the fact that he was able to go out there and do this High Rocks in a respectable time, like for, you know, his discipline, if he actually just even put in 6 months of just High Rocks focused training, he would crush. Just because his aerobic capacity is already there. Like his ability to run.
His sled pull was 13 minutes.
13:03.
Yeah.
That's a day. That's a long day.
Yeah.
2:45 on the first run, 3:30 on the second run, 4:06 on the third, 3:45 fourth, 4 minute on the fifth, 3:44 on the sixth, 3:49 on the seventh, 4:23 on
the place.
On the let's just share it.
He prepped for like I think.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but like that's the difference between like a person who hasn't trained. Like, I was in within 2 seconds of every single interval at World Championships.
Well, your pacing is also clockwork.
Do you have complete rest days from working out? Yeah, mine's Sundays. I take it off completely. Nothing at all.
Yeah, and then my favorite is to touch on this, like when people say, oh, this is like when you see influencers, they're like, this is my recovery day. And I'm like, that's a lot of shit. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. It's exhausting, dude. Recovery day should just be laying down on the couch. I should do better at it myself, I think. Ever had Achilles tendonitis? You had that. What'd you do?
We're talking about last year. No idea. Literally was fine.
What'd you do to recover?
Nothing.
Oh.
You can't do anything. You just have to let it heal.
Yeah. You got to stay
like,
away
like
from it.
Literally the only thing I did was putt around on my bicycle while I was in New York because my shoes are stiff and I was riding around at like 12 miles an hour, just going sightseeing, riding Central Park, just keeping it super easy because that was all I could do. And I just woke up and I had a huge lump on the back of my left Achilles tendon, and I could not figure out why, the reason, anything, because nothing beforehand was stating that there was going to potentially be an issue.
Dude, I like this.
Felt 100% the day before, and then woke up and I was like, oh, I've got an extra head on my ankle, and it's on the back of my Achilles tendon. This is great.
Dude, I feel kind of bad. So Nick Hoyer just said, do we stretch or do you do pre-post workout movements? I do pre-workout movements now. Jacques's been getting me to do that, which feels nice. Especially I just got this new thing called the Hero Board. Admittedly, I'll just tell you guys, it's amazing. The second piece I'll tell you is it's $250. It might be even $295.
Oh, is that the Hero Board? Checking out? It's awesome. Google it's like a big platform skateboard looking thing, and you can use it for like lunges. You can do archer push-ups with it. You can do like ab wheel style workouts with it.
It's sick.
It's badass.
I wanted it because I do split squats all the time, and it stresses out my knee. And I just don't like the fact that it feels like my femur is going to blast through the front of my leg. And to me, like it's not worth it. And then this thing draws your leg back and gets you in a good position. And I really like it. I will give constructive feedback to this company. It's a composite plastic with those wheels on it and a pad. Like you can get those pads for $20 on Amazon. You can get those rollerblading wheels for $20 on Amazon. And then that board's got to be $20. And like, I could probably get Alex to make that with his rollerblades. And I'll admit, have problems. Like I see so many companies just with these crazy costs. And I think that's too much. I use
a skateboard in my garage for stuff like that.
But I do think this company's really good. Like,
we're going for them like, no, it's badass. I step into the jungle, move up. Yeah. Never I move up, never gonna win a war. It's really good. I send shots for your team and leader. I'm just a witness this. You can do a lot of variations with that thing.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Everything all right?
I'm reading. This one's funny. This guy said to me, are you a Raiders fan? If not, why are you gay? Good one. He roasted me. Detroit Lions, baby, dude. We're doing it. We're doing it.
I got a question for you sent in for somebody. Breathing techniques for running and how to maintain a low heart rate. Very simple question, but I feel like a lot of people have this question.
I think you got to recognize, like, one of the things I do at the end of my runs is I start breathing through my nose and try to see how far I can go for 5 minutes. And it will show you how inefficient your body is. Like, it will get you out of this like plyometric hopping stance and kind of make you more efficient. I love that. And it will teach you to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I think so many people are like running as if they were like fighting the air, like they're running in water, where you need to like really float.
Yeah.
I
usually tell people, if you're out for an easy run and you can't easily just breathe through your nose for the majority of the run with the every now and then and then just back to nose breathing, inhale, exhale, you're probably going too fast, and it teaches you how to relax.
Yeah. What's your number one key to being an endurance athlete over 200 pounds? You're almost 200, aren't you, right now?
I'm down to 189, 190.
What has been a factor for you?
As far as what?
Like being a big endurance athlete. Like, what's your number one factor for training?
Just fucking train. Like, your weight is your weight. Like, okay. So some people, like myself, right, I want to lose weight. I want to drop weight. But I also, if I'm fit and I'm efficient at my current weight, then I'm not really going to try to fight it. If you're just built to be in that give or take 200-pound range, it's just the cards you're dealt.
Yeah.
Like an F-250 is not trying to be an F-150.
I agree.
It's a truck for a reason, and it will work within its capacity. Can we add more horsepower to it and boost it and get more torque out of it, and it runs more efficiently and it can tow more shit? Yeah. Like, whatever, yeah. We can beef the truck up in the performance of it, but it's still, you know, 7,500 pounds or, you know, 6,500 pounds.
Yeah, I think the bike is the thing, dude. Use machines and the bike. Like, there's just so many athletes I've seen. Dude, there's this guy called, look this guy up. He's like, names the something the Finn. This dude's like setting all these rowing records. Look this guy up. He is a freaking beast, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this guy can just crush.
But I also agree with where you're going with that. Like, if at that size, if you are not super conditioned to running, and to also alleviate the impact, get on the bike and do power intervals and do brick workouts. Get off the bike, go for a short run, and make the most of it. Be efficient in your training.
Look up Rowing Finn for me.
Rowing Finn?
Rowing, F-I-N-N. This dude, like, I don't see men very often be like, damn, I want to be like him. But I saw him, and I was like, oh, he's so manly.
I need this guy.
Dude, this guy set the rowing. Look at this. He set the rowing marathon world record. This one right here. Look at the one on the top left.
Top left.
Yeah, I think this is the one. Dude, he did a marathon row in 2:20. It does not get more insane than that.
2 hours and 20 minutes.
139.5.
Yeah.
139.500s. 138.35.
Supposedly rowing, beach rowing just got into the Olympics and this guy is involved. And I was like, I'm looking at canoeing and I may look at beach rowing next. Like, I am totally ready to quit High Rocks at any time and go to the Olympics and fight this dude. Go back a second.
Where you want me to zoom in on his times?
No, X out and go to just like pictures of him. Look at the size of his arms and legs. Like, that guy is a tank.
Yeah.
That guy is a Zilla, tank. Baby. Yeah, I like this guy.
Is this really an Olympic sport now?
Yeah, dude, I want to know. I'm like, I am always hunting for a good time. So
you're just rowing close.
I'm also looking at, like, his chest cavity, dude. His lungs must be massive.
Yeah, dude, he's a gangster. I like this guy a lot. So, like, I think people who are heavier, such as myself, I was like, use cross training and then be very, very specific about your running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
those quads,
like,
holy hell.
You can do that, dude, like, you are in a way, way, way better spot to end up pushing intensity and getting really fit, because fitness is your main goal and then specificity should be the second goal, and you will get fit over time. And I cannot believe any of you guys think that the 49ers are going to beat the Lions next week. The 49ers are hobos. They're dirty, filthy hobos. I hate them.
You're going to piss off Hoya Hoyer.
Dude, get out of here, dude. Get the fuck out
Nick
of my
Hoyer.
Face.
Come on, man.
Hoyer.
Talk dude, about your boys.
Dude, the 49ers are a disappointment to society. Look at this guy. You know that guy is a gangster. I want to spend time with him. I want him to be my dad. This guy's amazing.
Look at those quads. I want that. I want to go to there.
How many hours a week do you work out? Blah, 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 blah. How often are you training upper body, Parker?
Not as often as I should be. With swimming and stuff like that, like, I want to get a skier. My gym, I'm disappointed. I'm pushing for them to buy a ski erg and they won't budge. So, but I love, lately, the last few years, I just don't smash upper body.
Yeah. Well,
I probably should, but
biceps win races, dude. I am so jacked in my upper body right now, but I am so fit. Now, I don't think that my upper body is helping me with Ironmans. It's just not. But being that we're High Rocks athletes here, this is a High Rocks kind of podcast, fitness, functional racing, hybrid sport. Dude, 3 days a week, actually really low volume, because it's you know, I think it's better to have more consistency of touching upon body parts than it is to just blow them the heck out all the time,
yeah.
Especially upper body. Yeah. So
thank you, Tylenol.
Yeah. What'd you say? Thank you, Tylenol.
Yeah. He's checking out another dude.
Oh,
did you see his legs?
Yeah.
Yo,
welcome
dude,
to the
shut
fitness
up, dude.
World, bro. Like you get jacked. Like when you're young, you're like, oh, I'm going to get these muscles. Chicks are going to love it. And then your biggest fans just become the other dudes in the gym.
Dudes. This is what I keep on saying, dude. Dudes spread all the love on the internet. Chicks don't do anything. They don't know how to show appreciation.
No, I bet you
love.
like, let's check out C-Bum. I bet you 98% of his followers are other dudes.
My favorite is when C-Bum posts, everyone just in the comments is like, dad, like, you know, are you my dad? I'm like, this is so awesome. I'm like, he's incredible. He's really incredible. Guys, I want to thank you so much for showing up for our first Coach's Corner. And we're planning on bringing more coaches on, talking to them, allowing you guys to ask questions, shoot the shit. We're actually just trying to show up on this podcast 3 days a week now. And, you know, we're going to have guests. We're going to shoot the shit randomly. It's just more so of us trying to spread the media around and do a better job in this space. And if that means we got to put more hours in, we will always put more hours in. Next thing I want to tell you guys about is our team is going to be broadcasting our event, and it's at 7:20 p.m. in London. So that means it's going to be around 11:20 here on Pacific Coast, and it's going to be around 2:20 on the East Coast. Our team is going to be broadcasting like we normally do. Caleb's going to do his best to live stream it, and then we are going to have the team here talking about it. So it's going to be exciting. We would appreciate if you guys showed up, share some love, show some support. The other thing is you guys never leave reviews or comments or anything. You guys always show up in the comments and just talk tons of shit. You have to go outside of this comment board and then actually like hit a like or a subscribe or review. And it helps us. It helps us grow this thing. It helps us give us bigger opportunities. Helps us bring in cool sponsors. Cool sponsors like Go Brewing, and we love you guys, but we're trying to dedicate more time and resources to this. You guys are being cheap with your reviews and likes. Cheap. I mean,
the entire chat section today was like a MSN Yahoo Messenger board. It's like YSL. You know, ASL.
You guys,
I think Jared and Nick might be, you know, hanging out and doing a house meetup. Like, this is great.
We always have.
Yeah, Jared, click that like button.
Jared, Nick, and Imani were having their whole other conversation going on.
You have to do it in Apple iTunes, and you have to do it in Apple Podcasts, and you have to do it in Spotify. That's the difference. Like, dude, Nick Bear's podcast has 8,000 reviews. I think we have like 60. You guys are cheap. You are my people. You guys are cheap as shit. Oh, God.
Yeah, well, instead of donating $2.50 at the YouTube live or Facebook, we prefer those likes and those comments and those subscribes.
Yeah. Once again, guys, and also we always appreciate you guys supporting what we're doing on Builder and House Training. You know, if you guys haven't seen it, I can't imagine you haven't, but the Ultimate Engine's live right now. We also have Tempo Trainer. If you're not somebody who likes to train intensity and you want to focus more on just like a body transformation, I really think Look Good Naked is the program I will be using entirely after I'm retired. It's the way to live.
It's a great program.
You just get pumped up, dude. And Builder's the best. It makes the world go around. We're all happy. I'm actually about to go take a ton of Strength X2 and pre-workout, and I'm going to go hit some running intervals down below on the road. So, guys, I love hanging out.
This is Builder, but that's America's team,
dude,
right there.
Cowboys got wrecked, dude.
Every fucking year.
It's so funny. I just watched the video of the owner of the Cowboys, and he's crying. And I was like, honestly, I'm not making fun of him at all. I'm like, that's a man who cares that much. Like, he's got that much money. He probably doesn't have a lot of like issues in his life. And he's crying that his team didn't make it in playoffs. And I was like, dang, dude. I hurt for you. Like, that's a man.
Look, I love Jerry Jones. He's a great business guy. He's great for the team. But he just has to stop giving money to people like Dak. Like, just get rid of him. We could have taken, like, a ninth-round quarterback for, like, 100, like, what, league minimum, and been like, well, show us what you could do, kid. And we'd have done way better.
Yeah.
We could have built a team around that guy. Versus paying Dak all this money for what?
He sucks that bad.
Whatever, dude. He's just, I'm not a fan.
Well, yeah.
This is a nice guy. I'm sure he's great to have lunch with or, you know, go play 18 holes with, but sorry, man. I like, look, I've never wanted to buy a Dak jersey. I'm just going to say that.
Wasn't it reported that the last time the Cowboys were in an NFC champion, AFC, I don't know, a championship game, like 10% of households had internet at that time?
Shut up, Ryan. It was the 90s when we won the Super Bowl. Okay? Yeah. Leave us alone.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. I still have my Cowboys starter jacket.
No training for you today, Ryan. I'm removing
it. I got my Cowboys starter jacket.
Did you have a starter jacket? Like,
dude, I have a Cowboys starter jacket. It's still the one.
While we're here, guys, since there's enough people in the, there's enough people here, we did this last night. We are having Builder Sports and Biceps and Races hoodies that are going to be up for sale. I don't know if anybody's still in these comments, but just say yes or no. Just say yes or no, because we are going to have to order a lot of these things, and it's taking a lot of our bandwidth money-wise.
Why don't we just pre-order?
We can do a pre-order and stuff like that, but I do want to really know for people that are here. Okay, Aisha's in, Nick's in, Jared's in. So, like, we've got enough people that are interested in this stuff. Really, guys, like, we're not getting rich off this. We are a supplement company. We are a media company. But we always are having people, like, say, hey, listen, I want this stuff. And I'm finally going out of our way. We finally designed them. They actually look really, really great. And they're super high quality. They're not like these ones that come from, like, Fruit of the Loom. So I'm going to do this for you guys. And, like, I really want to. But I just want to make sure that this is a – This is a mutual relationship here. Okay, guys, when I show up to the table, you guys got to show up too. But I'll break your legs if you don't pay me money. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I have to get ready. I got to pack. I got to get ready. Team meeting at noon. So I'll see you guys in a bit.
I've got a really fun bike workout I'm about to do.
Yeah, dude. I'm about to go hit some intervals. Guys, I love you. I'll see you soon.
Bye. Laters.
Adios.
Dirt nuggets.